You're going to be turning to Joshua 1. Joshua 1. I've spoken on Joshua 1 before, but the Lord brought it back to me again to just revisit. The Bible says that in God's treasures, there are old and new. Old and new treasures. And so today we're going to go back and revisit this. The title of my sermon today is called When It's Time. When It's Time. When It's Time. Joshua 1, 1 through 10. After the death of Moses, the servant of the Lord said to Joshua, son of Nun, Moses' minister, Moses, my servant, is dead. So now arise, take his place. Go over this Jordan, you and all this people, into the land which I am giving to them, the Israelites. Every place upon which the sole of your foot tread, that have I given to you, as I promised Moses, from the wilderness and this Lebanon to the great river Euphrates, all the land of the Hittites, Canaan, and to the great Mediterranean Sea on the west shall be your territory. No man shall be able to stand before you all the days of your life. As I was with Moses, so I will be with you. I will not fail you or forsake you. Be strong, confident, and of good courage, for you shall cause this people to inherit the land which I swore to their fathers to give them. Only you be strong and very courageous. This is a repeat. Whenever God repeats something, there's an emphasis on it. Whenever there is an emphasis on it, it's because you're going to need it. Be strong and very courageous, that you may do according to all the law which Moses, my servant, commanded you. Turn not from it to the right hand or to the left, that you may prosper wherever you go. This book of the law shall not depart out of your mouth, but you shall meditate on it day and night, that you may observe and do according to all that is written in it. For then you shall make your way prosperous, and then you shall deal wisely and have good success. Have not I commanded you, be strong, vigorous, and very courageous. Be not afraid, neither be dismayed, for the Lord your God is with you wherever you go. This is a powerful place. It's a place of transition. And anytime God brings you to a place of transition, and we all go through transition, there are seasons. There are seasons when you're in one place and then the Lord takes you out of that place and you move it. The very nature testifies that there are seasons in people's lives, different seasons that God brings you into. And we call the middle, from going from one season to the next, we call that transition. And in transition, there is a lot of things that happen. And if you're not strong in the Lord, and if you're not strong in the Word of God, and if you're not keeping your relationship with God strong, and if you're not focused and remembering the things that God has said, when you get in transition, the closer you get to the promises and the more the enemy raises his ugly head, because he sees that the season is coming into fruition and the promises of God are getting ready to be fulfilled, the intensity of the battle ramps up. And if you don't know who God is, and if you don't know that word of the Lord and the promises of God, and if you're not in deep intimacy with Him, Him being the source of all of your life and your strength and your health and your hope and your work and your vision, then the enemy will come to steal it. This is right on the cusp of transition. Right on the cusp of transition. Moses has died. The great leader Moses. No one like Moses in the Old Testament. You'll never find a greater leader than Moses in the Old Testament. Until you come to Jesus Christ, there's not another great leader like him. He was amazing the way that God predestined his life. God predestined Moses while he was in his mother's womb. God predestined him before he was even formed there. He said before to Jeremiah, "You were in the womb, I knew you." God takes this great leader, Moses, one of the great leaders of the Old Testament, and he comes in a season and a time of trouble. It's trouble. Pharaoh remembers no longer Joseph. He doesn't remember what Joseph did to save the nation of Egypt and how that through Joseph wealth was brought into Egypt and made it great. He's forgotten all of that. He doesn't know. New leadership has arisen, and he doesn't know about Joseph anymore. Instead, he's seen only the people of Israel, the ones, the descendants of Israel that are now living among them, and how that they're multiplying and they're increasing and how that they're growing and how that he sees them taking possession and they become a threat to him. This great leader, Moses, was born in a time of trouble, in a time of difficulty, but it was intentional. They were taking the babies at the command of the Pharaoh, and they were now plunging them and drowning them and killing them and murdering, not much different than what we're doing today. Destroying the future, destroying what could be, what should be. Here comes on the scene this beautiful baby. And the mother and the father looked at this child and there was something different. He was a beautiful child. And it says they hid him. They hid him in a secret place. You will often find great men and women of God before they've been exposed in hidden secret places. No one knows their name. Nobody knows the trouble or the time that they were birthed. But God knows. Moses, in this time, his mother seeing him, makes a basket. Can you imagine? Here's this frantic mother, this mother who sees this child and has this great leader. And here and she's wanting to save this child because she sees something in this child. Of course, any mother would feel that way about their child, but she was willing to risk death and life and limb to make sure that he had a future. So she's weaving, and I can just see her weaving, tears streaming down her face as she's pitching it and putting the tar on the basket, and as she's preparing it and getting it ready to send out to who knows what else but God. Her faith in God. With trembling hands, she lays the baby in the basket. Trembling and weeping, she puts him into the Nile. She covers up. And by the hand of God, destined by God, directed by God, just like your life has been, he maneuvers the child in such a way through the water that it comes right into the court where the princess is bathing. Coincidence? Not with our God. Spared and raised in the courts of Pharaoh, a Hebrew, an Israelite, right in the pagan world. He learned all the things that were going to be necessary in order for him to accomplish the will that God was bringing him into. God is an intentional God. He knows how to direct your steps and even use your pain to bring you into the fullness of his heart. That's why Romans 8 is so powerful. When it talks about there's no condemnation for those who are in Christ, who walk not after the dictates of the flesh, but after the Holy Spirit governing and controlling their lives. He can even take those things in your life that look like they were mess ups and painful places, and he can use them to be a testimony to someone else about the grace of God. Here is Moses, learning all the things there is about Pharaoh. How, learning protocol, learning how to go before him, learning what things to say, what things not to say, educated in the highest education of the time and the land. Now, here's Moses. His mother even being brought to them to nurse him and being paid wages for it. God is so amazing. He was raised there for the purpose and the intention of God, knowing that he is an Israelite, a Hebrew. I'm sure because of the mother telling him and still having that connection from birth through the situations that arose with her nursing this child. The connection remained, and he went to deliver his people, feeling a call, but he did it all the wrong way. Have you ever went out to do the will of God in your own strength? Have you ever heard the word of the Lord speak to you and you said, I can do that and I'll do it tomorrow, and it failed? Moses failed miserably. He murdered a man and they saw him. The next day when he came out to separate brothers that were fighting, they said, are you going to murder us like you murdered the Egyptian? And Moses fled for his life. The great leader Moses has a history. He's got some sin, mistakes, faults, failures in the lineage of his decisions. But God, bringing and directing him through his own mistake and through his own sinful behavior, he leads him out into the wilderness for 40 years to be trained now on the act of humility, submission, surrender, patience, long-suffering, and dying to himself so that he can follow God and do the will of God. Such are all those who are called with a purpose, an eternal purpose. Now God is ready to manifest. And when the time came, when the time was right, when the time, we get frustrated with time. We don't like waiting. We want things now. But the Bible says when the time fully came, when the time fully came, repeatedly from beginning to end, when the time comes, nothing can stop it. When it's time, when he knows that the last I has been dotted and the final period placed at the end of the sentence, he will move, and nothing and no one will stop it. Moses sees a burning bush. The glory of the Lord revealing himself to all of the great leaders in the scriptures, to all of those who are called by God's name. There was a time when God made himself known to you, a time when you felt the power of the Holy Spirit, a time when God apprehended your heart for his purpose, a time when he said this far and no farther, a time. Moses' time had come. The burning bush was now erupting into flames, and he's there, a voice speaking out of the bush. Take off your feet, Moses, for the place you're standing, it's holy ground. You'll always encounter holiness when you encounter God and his time. The realization of your own insignificance and your inability to be able to save and deliver and change any human heart except by God's divine intervention. When the time came, God moved when he knew everything in Moses' heart was right. He spoke to him. I have heard the cries of my people. He hears it again. I've heard their groanings, their weepings and their sighings. I've heard their tears and their laments. Generation after generation after generation has went by. No significant change. None of the prophecies that God gave Joseph and Israel were coming to pass. For God had declared, there will be a day after 400 and some years, I will deliver you out of Egypt with a mighty hand, and I will display my glory and my wonders before Egypt. But years and years and generations had come and gone. But when the time came, there was no stopping it. God is not limited by us, as he has well made us known this morning. Moses leads them out. The power of the Lord displayed with signs and wonders and miracles. This great leader that they looked to and sometimes mocked and resisted. This great leader who put up with so much of their rebellion and their longings for the world. This great leader who constantly was bringing them before God on his face with tears and cries and weepings as they lamented and wore him out mentally and physically at times because of their constant desire to have more of the world. Yet, Moses interceded, pleading on their behalf. Now he's dead. The great lawgiver. The one who brought them out by the power of God. Moses is dead. And he's calling up another leader and another generation to fulfill the purposes of the eternal purpose of God's heart. You see, what we have confused is that God has an eternal plan and an eternal purpose with your life. It's more than just taking up space. It's more than just pursuing your degree. It's more than just fulfilling a role. It has an eternal purpose. It has an eternal destiny. It has influence attached to it. People that you're going to touch and lives that are going to be changed because you were born. You're going to speak to people and it's going to change their life. You're going to have influence and it's going to change someone's life for all eternity, because when everything is said and done, is your name in the book of life is theirs. And the influence that God gives you and the role and the purpose that you have in this earth that he's calling you to and directing you to, and that sometimes you even get weary in doing it, yet God says it will have an eternal significance and you will be accredited to it. Moses is now gone. Who will take the place of this great leader? My mama passed away in 2015. I went to my mama for everything. Mama, tell me about this dream and what does it mean? And mama, tell me about this and tell me about that and tell me more about God and tell me more about what he did in your life. Tell me, mama, all the times that the Lord spoke to you, all the times he woke you up, all the times he warned you of things that were going to happen and things that were going to come. Mama, tell me, mama, about God. Tell me, teach me. Mama, teach me. And then she died. And I became the mama that had to teach my children about God. Moses is dead. But you know what I learned from my mom? Go into the tent of meetings. Go where God is. And Joshua was now being raised up because Joshua watched Moses go into the tent of meetings. And he would watch the glory of the Lord come into that place, and Moses would speak to God face to face. And Joshua would be there in the glory of God's presence. Do your children know where your tent of meeting is? Are they listening to your cries and your prayers and your worship? Are you showing them that when everything is said and done, it will be about God and the purpose to which you were created? And they'll need to know their purpose in God, because I tell you this, if you do not create an atmosphere where they can hear from God in your home and in your family and wherever you go, the world will fill it with their lies. Joshua's going into the tent. He's watching Moses. He's watching. And God was taking that time to train Joshua. God never misses a beat. When Moses is gone, Joshua is coming. He always has someone willing to take the torch. Willing to go all the way with God, even till their last breath, so that another generation can cross over to the other side and receive the reward and the eternal life that God died and rose from the dead through his Son to give them. Moses is dead, but Joshua waits in the wings. He says to Joshua, go over this Jordan, you and all the people. You see, it's never about you, it's about the people. The influence that you have, the place where God has put you, whether it be to your children or whether it be an influence to where you work or where you go to school or your community. He says, you're getting ready to cross over, you're getting ready to go, and it's about you and all the people. The role that God's put you in is about you. Yes, He's going to develop you in that role. He's going to teach you things about that role. He's going to show you the purpose of God even within that role that He's placed you. But never forget that it's about people, that you're going to lead people, that you're going to direct people, that your purpose in life is to bring people to God. Some of the greatest coaches have been men and women of faith who not only developed their players naturally, but brought them at a level spiritually, because they knew when everything is said and done that the body will wax old and the body will get tired and the body will get weary, but the eternal spirit of a man is forever. It's about you and it's about people. It's about moving into the purpose to which God put you here on the earth and that God created you to be in and do for Him. And as He's developing you, He's developing others. And sometimes we get so impatient with the process. We get so impatient as we go from one place to the next place to the next place. And it seems so long before we see the results of our labor and of our hard work and our tears and our cries. But God is not in a hurry. When He develops people, He develops them in His character and in His nature and in His attributes and in the fruit of His spirit and in His image and His likeness. And He does not do it quickly because things like that take time. Already my grandbaby, Harper, one of my grandbabies, she already knows that when we turn on the worship, it's time to worship. And she'll throw her hands in the air and she'll start smiling. And now, this past week, I had the wonderful joy of being able to look at her and say, Harper, let's sing. And I started humming a tune, and she's going, You see, it starts from cradle, and it doesn't end until the grave, the physical body, and the training. But it's all preparation for the eternal, because that's where you're going to be held most accountable. Did you train them up? Did you pray for them? Did you teach them the ways of God? Did you show them how to live? Did you show them how to get a hold of God when your mama's not there? Those are the things that your mama taught you. And those are the things that will matter. And though you are not responsible for the choices and the decisions that they make when they get of age, I tell you, pray that no seed that you planted in them will fail. That at the right time, and based on the circumstances that sometimes God allows, the seed will take root and bring harvest. When the time comes, Joshua is waiting in the wings and he's ready to take them into the next level. You see, God plants churches in regions and God plants people in those churches and He directs the steps of His people. He knows exactly what needs to happen in order to bring about the purpose of His heart. And you say, well, what if God, the church gets out of God's heart? God knows how to correct His people. He knows how to bring correction to those who continuously kick against His will and His purpose and continually to disobey His plan. And He will give them warning, and He will give them warning, and He will give them warning, and then He will correct them sovereignly. You say, well, that's not the God that I've heard about on TV. Well, that's the God in the scriptures. He's a merciful God. He's patient and long-suffering. He hates sin. But don't get confused between the sin that you're committing, thinking that God winks at it and allows it and permits it. No, He's waiting for you to repent, waiting for you to get things in order, waiting for you to obey, waiting for you to listen, waiting. And He's long-suffering, waiting, waiting. But the time comes. When my mama gave me about 10 warnings, she said, one more time, and I'm gonna have to deal with you. And when my mama, whom we called Iron Pants, because she had 7 kids, and when she got to that level, when Iron Pants got to, if I had to tell you one more time, I'm coming up there. You started backing up. And you either got it in gear or you will go get a spanking. It only took a couple of those for me to figure it out. When God warns and warns and warns, and He said, if you keep going in that direction, if you keep going in that direction, if you keep making those decisions, if you keep keeping those associates, if you keep allowing yourself to go backwards instead of forwards, I'm going to have to discipline you. And it's going to hurt and it's going to be painful. I'm giving you time. Even know how I got there, but I just want you to understand the Lord is patient, but that doesn't mean He's ignoring things in your life that ultimately He's going to bring to a place of decision. The devil came to Jesus and he said, just jump down off of here. The Lord has promised in His word that He'll give His angels charge over you. And Jesus looked at him and He said, don't test and thoroughly try the Lord your God. Don't become a trial to Him. Don't keep pushing and pushing against the goads. Don't make me have to discipline you. I would rather that you come to me out of love and grace. I would rather that you obey me because you love me and because you know that I'm good and I'm a good father. But if you keep pushing me and testing me and thoroughly trying me after I have given you warning after warning after warning, I'm going to have to discipline you. And let me tell you, you better be thankful for the discipline of God because it is so necessary. To some, it has saved their life. Despise not the chastisement of the Lord. Don't despise it. David said, it was good for me that I was afflicted because then I learned righteousness. Those whom I love, I tenderly love. I rebuke. I tell them their faults. I deal with them. I love them. I don't want them to perish. Joshua, having seen all of these things that Moses had to deal with and being taught by Moses and watching how he led the people, is now summoned to the front to lead a generation into another season. And it's going to take all of the grooming that he had with God and all of the time that he spent in that tent of meetings. Don't think that you're going to do the will of God without spending a lot. Don't think that you can raise your children just by the seat of your pants. I'm going to tell you something. You better know the Word of God. And you better have the Holy Spirit inside of you. Because you're dealing with things in the world, whether it be at your workplace, whether it be at your job, whether it be at your school, whether it be even in your home and your own family, you're going to have to deal with things. And if you are not in good relationship with God, if you're not in a place where you can hear the voice of the Lord, if you're not in tune with God, Joshua had to be in that tent of meetings to know what Moses was like. And how he went before the Lord and how he humbled himself before God. And he had to watch and he had to study and he had to want and desire to be in there because somehow in his heart he knew that the day would come and he would be called to arise and to take another generation into the promised land. And he had to be ready spiritually, mentally, physically. He says, every place that I'm going to give you, I've given you regions, I've given you territory, I've given you influence, I've given you the ability to be able to make a difference in the area that you're at. Don't think it little. It's not little. And there's going to be enemies there, and there's going to be situations that you're going to encounter while you're doing the will of God. You're not going to do the will of God, and it's going to be a red carpet rolled out. You're not going to persevere and learn how to be long-suffering and patient without there being trouble and tribulation and trial. Is it not true in the scriptures that the word of the Lord says, count it all joy in James 1 when you encounter different diverse types of trouble and trial, knowing that it perfects your faith, brings you character? He says, I've even ordained the enemies that are going to come against you. I've even allowed and permitted them to come against you in order that I might sharpen you to difficulties, in order that I might teach you how to handle adversity. He says, I'm bringing you into this land at this time, at this appointed season, and you're going to have enemies there, and you're going to have those that will come against you, and you're going to have people that are going to try to stop you, and you're going to feel weak sometimes, and you're going to feel weary. But that's when, Joshua, you learned by watching what Moses did to go into the tent of meetings to get your strength from the Lord. That's where you learn to spend time with God and become all that he called you to be in that place, in the secret place, long before you were exposed into greater places. You don't get it, if you don't get it by the secret places and the intimate time with God, you will never make it to greater places. Because if you get there by your own works and your own efforts, you'll fall there. There are a lot of tactics people can use to grow businesses and to grow a ministry. And you can put yourself out there, but you get that too soon without the development of God's character, and something's going to happen. God's not in a hurry again. He says, I'm telling you that no man's going to be able to stand before you all the days of your life. As I was with Moses, so will I be with you. The same God of Moses is your God today. The same God who brought the children of Israel out of Egypt with a mighty hand is your God. That's why in the book of Timothy, he says, and Timothy, remember your grandmother. Remember your grandmother and your mother, and remember that. Stir the fire and the flame. He's a generational God. He's the God of generations. I looked at one of my children one day and I said, who's going to carry the next spark? Who's going to carry the anointing for the next generation? Who's going to cover all the nieces and the nephews? Who's going to cover them? Who's going to pray for them? Who's going to intercede for them? Who's going to warn them? When I'm dead, who's going to do it? Are you? I tell you this, God's got someone. Same God that was my mother's God is my God. And he's your God. He goes on to say, I'm not going to fail you. It's not that you won't counter difficulties, because we know that Joshua went on to fight battles and there were difficulties. And we know that Joshua went on to lead. And when he got to a certain battle, Achan had stolen things and took things from the city of Jericho that he should not have taken. And the next battle, they were defeated. That doesn't make God a failure. 9 times out of 10, it's our situation that we've allowed ourselves to get in. That's the problem. It's our flesh that got in the way of God's goodness. He says, I'm not going to fail you. Know this, God doesn't fail. We fail. Anytime I made a mistake or a turn or sinned in my life, there was a cost. There was failure. There was trouble. Anytime I did something out of the flesh and out of my carnal nature and out of my own thoughts and out of the way I thought it should be done and I failed, it was me. Don't put that on my God. My God is perfect without fault. He doesn't fail. He said, I won't forsake you. No one will be able to stand before you all the days of your life. As I was with Moses, so will I be with you. I will not fail you nor forsake you. Be strong, confident, and of good courage, for you shall cause this people to inherit the promises that I swore to their fathers. The inheritance, the inheritance, the inheritance, the inheritance of faith, the inheritance of eternal life, the inheritance that Christ died and rose from the dead for us to have. The inheritance. He says, I want you to operate in the Holy Spirit. I want you to be strong and confident. I want you to have good courage because you're going to cause other people to inherit the promises of God. And you're going to need to be full of God and full of courage because there's going to be some times when you're going to have to do it trembling. Just like Moses' mother laid him in the water. Tears, I'm sure, streaming. Hands trembling. But she was doing the will of God. There'll be some places in your life like that. I married my first husband. Tears streaming. Hands trembling. Who's going to take care of me? Who's going to take care of my children? Did God fail me? There's going to be some question marks in your life, some places that are going to be uncomfortable, some difficult things that you're going to have to go through. You're going to look at your situations. You're going to look at your circumstances. You're going to wonder, how am I going to get out of this? What's the next move? What am I going to do? It looks as if God has failed me. And he looks at you and says, be strong and bold and very courageous. Because that's when you're going to need his spirit. And you're going to need to be in that tent of meetings where he can secure you under the shadow of your wings. You're young. I'm older. I've lived through some things. I never want my children to hurt, but they will. And they have to know God. He's telling them when those times come, it's going to be important to follow the word of the Lord. The word of the Lord is going to be your strength, the word of God. Don't deviate from it to the right or to the left. Don't try to add your own spin on it. Just take it for what it is. And the word of the Lord came to me, Jeremiah said. The word of the Lord came to me, and it became a joy and a rejoicing to my heart. For I bear your name, O Lord of heaven's armies. Just eat it. Just digest it until it permeates out the pores of your body. Until the enemy can no longer deceive you, though he try. Until he can no longer lie to you. But when you pull out your word, this tells you the truth. You're not going to feel like reading it in a storm. You're not going to feel like reading it when you're at the lowest place you could ever be. The enemy's going to distract you with 1,000 things. And the world is going to tell you how you should deal with the situation. But the word of the Lord, he says, do not deviate it. Do not let the law of God be put aside. Don't turn away from the law of God. Don't turn away from the very thing that will give you guidance and help and direction all the days of your life. Digest it. Eat it. Listen to it. Read it. Until it permeates your being. Until you speak it out of your mouth, you don't even realize how much you even say it. But you just speak it. A child comes to you later and they say, what about this? And you're like quoting the Lord says to, My son Daniel came to me. He goes, Mom, I'm discouraged. I'm in college and I just don't even know anymore. He's been going there at his college. He's been studying for 3 years his purpose and what he feels like the Lord directed him to. You know, it's funny because when you get started and God speaks something to you in the beginning, you get through transition and come to a hard season. And now all of a sudden you're thinking, well, maybe God didn't say that. And maybe I just, you know, when the questions come and you begin to say, I'm not sure. And he got halfway through and he got to this place where it was difficult and he was getting discouraged and he was confused. And all the enemy was doing was just banging his brain. Maybe you've wasted your time. Maybe you've wasted 3 years of your life. Maybe you should be doing something else. Maybe God called you for another purpose. And he even brought God into it. And God ain't changed his mind. God said, you're going to cross over. You're going to go to the finish line. You're going to enter into the promised land. This is what I told you from the beginning. I haven't changed my mind. But the enemy comes and he spins it and he makes it look so sweet. His girlfriend calls me and she says, we got to pray for Dan. Don't tell him I called you, but we got to pray for Daniel. He's having a hard time. And she explained to me the situation. And Mama got the word. Mama got that word of God out, and I said, be not double-minded, like a ship being tossed on the sea back and forth. For a double-minded man is unstable in all of his ways, in everything that he thinks and he does. And the enemy will play games with you. James 1, don't be double-minded. The Lord called you. He hasn't changed his mind. The Lord said, finish what you started. He didn't say it was going to be easy. He didn't say it was going to be comfortable. There's going to be times when you feel like quitting. There's going to be times when you don't want to persevere. There's going to be times when you were thinking, is this a job that you gave me? Is this the calling that you put me in? Why am I having all this trouble? It's part of the process. But when the time comes and the time and the season's been put in and you've went through all the transitions and you've allowed the Lord to develop you, when the time comes, nobody can take your joy and nobody can take your character, which has been developed through the trial. He stayed his course, buddy. Because when you hear the word of the Lord, you straighten up. You say, God, don't lead me astray. His word is faithful and true. He who began a good work in me is able to finish it until the day Christ returns. You got to have courage. You got to have the word of the Lord in your mouth. You got to meditate on it day and night. You may not even understand everything in it. You may not even have the revelation at the moment to understand everything that God is trying to tell you. But I promise you this, God will bring you revelation if you keep asking. He said, seek and you shall find. Knock and the door shall be open to you. For all that seek and knock and ask, the Lord will give. And he says, if you take the revelation that you have, and if you allow me, I'll give you more revelation. If you're faithful with the revelation that you have, and I'll keep building you and showing you things about my character. Oh, you'll never master me. You'll never be able to figure me out. You'll never be able to say this is how God would do it. Because the moment you think you got God pinned in, and the moment you think you know him so perfectly that you could never imagine him doing anything differently, he'll pull the rug right out of you, because he's always going to be showing you different facets of himself. He's always going to be magnifying himself in your eyes so that you don't think that you get the glory, or you don't think that you're the one that created and did all of these great things. No, 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 no. God gets the glory. He says, don't deviate from the word of the Lord. We're going to finish up with this last point. This is the third time. And I just want you to notice before we go on to this last point, I want you to look at verse 8. He says, for then you will make your way prosperous, and then you shall deal wisely and have good success. It is from the Lord, prosperity and good success. It is God who opens doors for you. It is God who, when he sees that you have been faithful over a little, he will allow you more, and he will give you blessings, and he will ensure instruct you and help you in the very next season. It's God who prospers. It's God who gives increase. It's God who blesses. And he is faithful to do it at the right time. Verse 9, have I not commanded you, be strong? This is the third time, be vigorous. Do you think you're going to be lazy and do the will of God? No, it's not going to happen. Lazy people do not receive the promises of the Lord because they're too lazy. The Proverbs, I've been reading Proverbs, listening to Proverbs, and he goes, a lazy man says, there's a line outside, I can't work today. You're not going to be lazy and see the blessings of the Lord. You can't sit on the couch and just get more mature. You got to put your hand to the plow and not look back. You've got to be willing to do difficult things, even if nobody else is encouraging you or helping you or strengthening you. I've went through seasons where, I'm telling you, I just felt like a full-out assault was against me, and there was nobody there saying, come on, Pastor Rebecca, you got this, girl. Move on forward, honey, because God's going to do something great through you. No, it was God. If you don't help me, I ain't going to make it. Back in the tent of meetings, back in the tent of meetings, back in the intimate chambers, back into the personal presence of God. Give me the grace to see it all the way through. I don't want to stand before you and be ashamed. Oh, Raymond, I don't want to stand before him and be ashamed. And him look at me and say, I gave you the Holy Spirit. I put my blood upon you to forgive you of your sins and your iniquities. I gave you strength to overcome every circumstance. I gave you my word and my truth and my life and my light. And you're telling me that it's not enough. God, have mercy on our souls for the excuses that we make in not pursuing God. We pursue everything but God. Dear Lord, forgive us. Give us an appetite, God, for you. Yeah. Give us an appetite for your word and your truth and who you are. We digest everything but God. We want everything but God. Forgive us. Jesus said the kingdom of God is like a beautiful pearl or a treasure in a field. And once discovering him, they sold everything to have him. There will be moments when you feel afraid and weak. You'll feel stressed. You'll be intimidated. The lies of the enemy will come like rain. They'll pound your brain. They'll come like rain. You can't even hardly get your breath before the next attack comes. And you say, well, why does God allow? Because you learn to go after God when you're being assaulted. You learn that he's your life source. I recently had a dream, and in this dream, there were warplanes over my head, and they were spraying bullets, and I was running, I was the only target that there was, and he was coming after me. They were spraying, and the bullets were coming, so many, it looked like rain falling from the sky, and I was like, oh, you know, where am I going to run for cover? I'm going to be destroyed in this trouble. I'm going to be destroyed in this battle. My mind was permeated with thoughts that were contrary to God. And I was trying to war it all out. And I was in the secret chamber. And I was trying to get everything situated. And in this dream, I looked around for cover. I was like, where can I go? Where can I go that will protect me from this assault, this attack? And I looked over and I saw the skeleton of a vehicle, and I ran over and I hid under the vehicle. And you know, that's the prayers and the cries of generations of my mama's prayers and your family's prayers and people that were praying for their descendants and my grandmother Hazel. And they said, oh God, raise up another generation. Protect them from the hands of the enemy. Put them in the secret place of the Most High. Hide them under. You think your prayers don't matter? They are life and death to your descendants. Don't ever judge your prayers by visual confirmation. They will still be moving in the hearts and the lives of your family when you are long gone. Have I not commanded you to be strong and vigorous and very courageous? Be not afraid, neither be dismayed, for the Lord your God is with you wherever you go. When the time comes, when the door flings open, when you've made it through all those seasons of preparation and the process of promotion, and you've went through it by the grace of God, Raymond, not even thinking that you didn't get there by your own strength. You didn't get there by your own wisdom. You didn't get there alone. You got there by the prayers and the intercessions of God's people and your family members who were crying out to you. You got there by God's grace, His Spirit deposited in you. When the time comes, give the glory to God. Because you wouldn't have made it without Him, and you never will make it without Him. If you are to boast, boast of the Lord. Amen? Your time's coming. If you're in question, your time will come and is coming. Make sure you obey the Lord. Make sure that you know His word. Make sure that you're spending time with Him in the secret place. And make sure that you're living this life through the power of the Holy Spirit. Nothing can stop you when the time comes. Let's stand to our feet. Father God, we thank you. The God of seasons, the God who knows just how to move and when to move, and the God who allows circumstances. Many have, in a season, in a time, when they cried out to the Lord in their trouble and in their despair, the Lord raised them up and He delivered them and He saved them. He gave them opportunity. But somewhere in that wilderness process, somewhere in the transition, it became difficult. The enemy came against them. There became other options besides God. The enemy deceived them. And they went backwards instead of forwards. I'm praying for this generation. I'm praying that they will be more enamored by God and who He is than by their own desire for fame and popularity. Money. I'm praying that as God gets ready to glean His harvest, that and He gets ready to take the people to the promised land, the eternal kingdom, I'm praying that you're the ones that are willing to go through the necessary steps and process so that God can use you to glean His harvest. Don't give up in the middle of transition. Don't abort your baby, your ministry, your calling, your purpose in the middle of a trimester. Don't give up when it's hard or difficult. That's the time when you have to press in even more. That's the time when you've got to go before the Lord even more. That's the time when you've got to gain your strength from God all the more. Don't give up. Keep the word of the Lord on your heart. and your tongue and your ears. Teach them to your children and your children's children. Obey the Lord, your God. We have a generation that says that they love God, but they don't do a single thing He asks them to do. They don't obey. They say, God, you love me, but I just want to say that Jesus said, if you love me, you'll keep my commandments. You'll follow my precepts. You'll know my principles and my teachings, and you'll walk with me. I pray right now, if you're in a place where you've disobeyed the Lord and you've went in an opposite direction of the way that God has called you, and you did it because of your own reasoning and you were tempted and you gave in to the tempter, turn around right now, because God will receive you if you come to Him with a repentant heart. You will receive His mercy and His grace, and He will forgive you and turn it around for you. For those of you, you've went through the dark valleys, you've went through the tent of meeting, you've listened to the word of the Lord, you're continuously digesting it, you're willing to do what He says, your time is coming. It's promised. You see, God is a rewarder of those who diligently seek Him. It's a promise. Don't be surprised if when you cross over into the Jordan and you begin to gain more territory, that you find yourself with more responsibility and more trouble. Just know that the tools that He gave you to get there will be the tools that you need to stay there. Thank you, Father, that you equip your people for such a time as this. In Jesus' name, and amen.